Good morning, early birds. You've caught The Worm, a podcast from Yellowstone Public Radio, rounding up reporting from our newsroom and Montana Public Radio. Today, we have stories about two new full-time agents to investigate human trafficking cases in Montana, an update on why Rossiter School in Helena evacuated yesterday, and roadkill research. It's Wednesday, October 16th. I'm your host, Jess Sheldahl. Montana's political leaders are overwhelmingly male. That's according to a recent national report. Kayla DeRoche has more.
DC nonprofit Represent Women released this year's Gender Parity Index in July. In it, Montana was the third lowest ranking state, scoring roughly 11 points out of a possible 100. The study took both historical and current political leadership into account. While Montana was the first state to elect a female legislator to the U.S. Congress, it hasn't elected a woman to federal office since the 1940s. In the past, Montana has also had only one female governor. Today, 30% of Montana state legislators are women. That's slightly above the national average of 29%. Only two states ranked lower than Montana, with Utah at 50 and Louisiana at 49. Wyoming pulled in at 26. Kayla DeRoche, Yellowstone Public Radio News.
Montana Governor Steve Bullock did not share the debate stage with the 12 remaining Democratic presidential candidates yesterday in Westerville, Ohio. With 3.5 months to go until the Iowa caucuses, a handful of Hawkeye State Democratic Party stalwarts yesterday cheered him to stay on the course. Speaking during a press call organized by Bullock's campaign, Iowa Attorney General Tom Miller says the Democratic National Committee's debate qualification rules artificially stifle voter choice.
One of my friends ran into one of the national pollsters recently, and the pollster said the front runners are all fragile, and he thought it was really important for candidates like Steve and Mike Bennett to stay in this race as long as they can, implying they're quality candidates and they still have a chance to break through.
Bullock fell short of the donors and polling numbers needed to participate in last night's debate. He appeared in one of the three televised debates, participating in the second Democratic debate in July. Montana just got two full-time agents to investigate human trafficking cases throughout the state. As Olivia Reingold reports, it's the first time the state has hired full-time help to stop human trafficking.
Montana has had law enforcement agents investigating human trafficking cases full-time on the local and up until recently federal level. But this is the first time the state has employed full-time agents to look at human trafficking. The agents, Andrew Yedinak from the Division of Criminal Investigation and an unnamed partner who works undercover, started earlier this month. Their hiring comes as another human trafficking agent pulls back on his work in the state. Billings Republican Daniel Zolnikov sponsored the State House bill that created the two-person human trafficking team. He pushed for the new hires because he says unless you lived in Missoula or Billings, where local or federal agents were investigating human trafficking cases,
the whole state was a open-for-business state.
By that, he means sex traffickers could transport people around the state and coerce them into sex without oversight from the state level.
There's loops, and you got to be able to interconnect them and identify where people tend to be, where they're going.
He says that's what state-level agents are good for, connecting the dots and getting a bird's-eye view. The state-level team was hired by the State Department of Justice and is based in Billings within the Division of Criminal Investigation. Montana's Attorney General, Republican Tim Fox, says the State Department of Justice doesn't participate in many human trafficking investigations right now, unless approached by a task force.
This will be, a game changer for us to have dedicated law enforcement officers whose primary responsibility will be to investigate human traffickers.
He says this will go far on the local level, in communities too strapped for cash to fund human trafficking investigations on their own. The two agents start as Brandon Walter, an agent with the Federal Bureau of Investigations, halves his time spent on human trafficking cases. He was previously the only full-time federal agent assigned to human trafficking cases in Montana. Now he divides his time between investigating human trafficking cases and crimes in Indian Country. State House Representative Zolnikov says that makes the hiring of two new full-time agents like taking two steps forward and one step back. For Yellowstone Public Radio News, I'm Olivia Reingold.
Montana business owners have announced plans for a $100 million commercial development, including a hotel, a civic events center, and two restaurants. Nick and Robin Chakota have worked with the city of Missoula on an agreement for a parcel at the downtown riverfront triangle near the Clark Fork River. Chakota says the hotel and civic events center could set the tone for further development on the riverfront. Missoula City Council is scheduled to discuss the proposal today. Students at Rossiter School in Helena evacuated yesterday morning after the Lewis and Clark's Sheriff's Department reported a detonated improvised explosive device found on the school playground. But law enforcement now says there was no detonation and no bomb. Montana Public Radio's Corin Cates Carney reports.
The Lewis and Clark County Sheriff's Office is backtracking statements made earlier today that an explosive device detonated at the Rossiter School in Helena. In a press conference Tuesday afternoon, Sheriff Leo Dutton said it wasn't a bomb and it didn't explode.
The further examination shows that it is not. It did not have a detonator on it.
In the hours after the school evacuation, Dutton described the item as a, quote, exploded improvised device, unquote, made out of a pop bottle and duct tape. The finding locked down schools all across Helena and East Helena for several hours Tuesday morning. Law enforcement officers swept and cleared the other schools across town and also reported searching government buildings and the state capitol. By early afternoon, Dutton changed the sheriff's office description of what happened. Dutton said the bottle wrapped in black tape was not a bomb. He said a homeless man left the bottle on the playground after picking up garbage, likely from a construction site. Dutton said the plastic bottle had unidentified liquid in it and was full of bolts, nuts, and washers. Dutton says sheriff's office officials initially determined it was an explosive device, but that conclusion was reversed when a bomb squad investigated further. The sheriff says it looked like a bomb, but wasn't.
Yep, it wasn't a bomb, but I'm thankful to say that. I am thankful that I can look parents in the eye and say, you know what, it wasn't. It was from a construction site, and it was wasn't a hoax by any means. And we responded in a way we should have.
Dutton says he's sorry the reported information turned out not being the case, but he's not sorry the office responded with the information they knew at the time. Tyler Ream, superintendent of Helena Public Schools, says law enforcement did a, quote, terrific job. Classes at Rossiter will resume Wednesday. I'm Corin Cates Carney, Montana Public Radio News.
A Missoula priest has been removed from his parish after acknowledging he had inappropriate contact with a woman. The Missoulian reports that Reverend Rich Perry was relocated to the Jesuit Center in Los Gatos, California, a retirement community for church leaders accused of misconduct. The Reverend Joseph Carver says the woman came forward on October 2nd. Perry was confronted the same day and he was relocated to California 5 days later. A new citizen science project is attempting to help Montana transportation and wildlife officials gain a better understanding of hotspots for wildlife crossings and fatal collisions with vehicles along state highways. As Montana Public Radio's Aaron Bolton reports, the project is calling on bicyclists to survey over 130,000 miles of road for roadkill over the next 3 years.
Lifelong bicyclist Tim Marchant is biking along Highway 200 near Ravalli. And after more than 15 miles of riding, he pulls up to his first dead deer. All that's left are its bones.
Is the animal alive or dead? This one's really dead.
On a mobile survey app, he answers questions on everything from species type to how far the carcass is off the road. A little bit down the highway is another deer that was struck by a car. Its soft tissues are mostly intact, but its skin shows signs that it's been here for a while.
Isn't it? It looks like it's like brittle.
Like
deer peanut brittle.
Marchant has been biking this stretch of road for 30 years. Typically, he's moving as fast as he can, but today he's riding at a leisurely pace to make sure he sees roadkill off the highway and documents it. Typically, data collection is done by Montana Department of Transportation workers and trucks. But on a bike, Marchant can more readily see and smell the dead critters. He says deer are incredibly common, but as he continues down the road, there's something on the shoulder he says is rare.
It is what that is, isn't it?
Yeah, that's a black bear.
It's a young black bear that looks like it could have either been hit by a car or fallen the 15 feet or so from the top of a vertical cutout in the rocky hillside. Marchant documents the large drop and other nearby infrastructure, such as fencing and the railroad. This data collection is part of what Adventure Scientists is calling its Ride for Roadkill project. The Bozeman-based nonprofit is using bicyclists like Marchant to survey all 11,000 miles of Montana's state highways 4 times per year.
These are people who are generally going to be biking anyway, and we've asked them to incorporate data collection.
Founder and executive director Greg Trinish explains that this ambitious project is actually a continuation of Adventure Scientist's global program, where for years bikers and hikers have been collecting data on roadkill as they find it.
And what we've learned is that there's really a pretty big need for more localized and intensive efforts in order to really enable the decision making that we want to see from the project.
The first field season for the Montana Data Project kicked off in late September and just came to a close Sunday. The Montana Department of Transportation and Montana Fish, Wildlife, and Parks are partnering with Adventure Scientists. The agencies will receive data points on species-specific roadkill numbers, numbers of live animals along roads, and info on nearby infrastructure. DOT's Tom Martin says that information, particularly on live animals, is more detailed than the data the department is currently able to collect.
Say, for instance, there's a group of elk or any type of animal adjacent to the highway, but perhaps they're not crossing. You know, that type of data can be useful to help us try to determine why aren't they crossing.
The data Adventure Scientists will be collecting will help DOT with input from FWP to include wildlife accommodations in road projects. Accommodations could be physical infrastructure, like wildlife crossings over roadways and crossing signs, or less obvious actions like cutting back vegetation along roadways so drivers can clearly see animals, and reduced speed limits around blind corners. But Trinish hopes the data can be helpful in other ways.
There's a great chance that we're going to be finding really cool information about migratory routes for these animals, about potentially seeing things like rare carnivores out there. And so we want to make sure that there's a mechanism for capturing all of that.
Back on Highway 200, Marchant says the idea of this project excites him because he's seen changes in the roadkill he finds along this highway. Just a few weeks ago, he found a dead grizzly.
Probably the furthest one south that I've seen. I see him up at Nine Pipes, but I thought it was odd to, which, you know, this puts him right, like I say, right in the back door of the 9 Mile Valley.
While that grizzly won't be a particular data point in this survey, this roadkill project is attempting to catch those types of changes in animal behaviors. As Marchant stands near his car at the end of his survey, he says besides the smells and gruesome sights, he was happy to slow down and keep an eye along the road he has ridden along so many times.
Perfect. You know, I've been a rat, the gerbil in the cage, right? Riding and riding and riding. So now I'm getting a chance to maybe put it to a little more purposeful use. So.
Marchant adds that he will continue to ride Highway 200 as part of this project through its completion in 2022. Aaron Bolton, Montana Public Radio News.
And that's what's happening in Montana today. Check in with Montana Public Radio's Montana Evening News for updates on the news of the day. For Yellowstone Public Radio News, I'm Jess Sheldahl. We'll have another episode of The Worm for you early birds tomorrow morning.
The Worm is produced by Jess Sheldahl for Yellowstone Public Radio. Theme music composed and recorded by Zach Jones at Rapscallion Recording. Meadowlark Call captured by Jay McGowan for the Macaulay Library. Partial funding for The Worm is provided by the Greater Montana Foundation, encouraging communication on issues, trends, and values of importance to Montana. More information about The Worm is available at ypradio.org.